Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you tonight for joining us on episode 31, season 3 of The Standoff with Brad and Richie here on New Zealand Sport Radio. We're live every Wednesday on Facebook throughout the season. Evening, Richie. Well, we're down to two teams now, and after two decent matches, I thought, on the weekend, what did you think of the games and how was your weekend?
Weekend was very good. Hope yours was as well. The games, yeah, I enjoyed the games, mate. And yeah, I called it. Battle of the West.
Yep, you did. Another week, you got 2 from 2. So congrats. Yeah, so while we're here live on Wednesdays at 8 p.m., you can also catch our show via our podcast on iHeartRadio at your convenience. Just remember to search for New Zealand Sport Radio. As always, we're going to cover everything you need to know on the week that was rugby league, including our top stories of the week, a review of the preliminary finals, and our picks. We'll then stop and answer some questions from you guys, as well as some questions we've got for each other. We'll then preview the grand final and make our tips before ending the night with a recap of Super League. So remember to send us comments and questions throughout the show, and we'll do our best to get to them. And we may as well just jump straight into the top stories of the week. Hey, Jacko, good to see you here. First one is kind of just breaking news. It just popped up in my little feed. But Haynes Perham, who was with the Eels, has officially signed with the Bulldogs for next year. So hadn't planned on announcing that, but it just popped up. So may as well bring it up. Now, what's your thoughts, Richie? Obviously, former Warrior that left to try to get an opportunity, hasn't come at the Eels. Do you see him getting a shot at the Bulldogs and getting some game time?
Well, it's looking a bit tough there too when you look at their outside backs. Obviously, Josh Adokar and the likes. And they've even got young blokes coming through, Carraz. So, no, I hope he gets an opportunity and takes it with both hands, because he was up and coming here at the Warriors. So I always have a soft spot for those blokes.
Yeah, definitely. And the first proper news I had came out today, the Vodafone news. So Vodafone announced a new name, which means that from November, the official name for the Warriors is now the One New Zealand Warriors. We talked a little bit before we went on here, but what's your thoughts on the new license name?
Yeah, it's just a name, isn't it? It kind of caught me blindsided. I didn't know this news was on the horizon. So, yeah, from an aesthetic point of view, I've always quite liked the little red Vodafone on the Warriors jersey. So we'll have to say goodbye to that. But, yeah, for most, like you and I were talking about before coming on, most pundits and league experts over the ditch just call us the New Zealand Warriors anyway. So,
yeah. Yeah, I think we'll probably see one on the jerseys, of course. I see Simon's here. Evening, Simon. But yeah, I think you'll just be reverted to New Zealand Warriors again. And yeah, it'll be interesting. Like I said to you before we went on air, the new logo basically looks like a little green Wi-Fi symbol. So it'd be a bit different, but Yeah, I'm not sure. I think I put a post on Facebook. I'm not really that great with change at the best of times. So I'm not sure, but it's something we will get used to, I guess. And I'm a fan of the color green, so a little bit more green on the jersey isn't going to throw me off. But yeah, we'll see what actually happens with that scenario. But maybe the conspiracies about the Warriors never winning a premiership with Vodafone in their name can go away now.
Yeah, hopefully.
But next bit of news, we had Graham Ellerslie had a busy week. He admitted there were several mistakes from the officials and the bunker in the preliminary finals. First was the Mitch Moses forward pass that was missed. He also said, yeah, the bunker disallowed two Panthers tries that should have been given. The first was the Jerome Luai try where they said there was obstruction. And the second was Stephen Crichton got his fingers to the ball before Richie Kenner, and the bunker said he had no downward pressure. And Ellerslie said, you don't need downward pressure when the ball's on the ground. So what's your take on those? One of them didn't affect the result, but I could feel a lot of Cowboy fans might say that forward pass cost them. I personally don't think they did. It happened early enough in the game. But they did, you know, lose by a try. So,
yeah, it happened right at the start of the game. And there were doubts over one of their tries as well, where Mitch Moses looked to be sort of pushed or pulled out of the way at the ruck leading up to one of their tries. When it happens that early in the game, the Cowboys still had their fate in their own hands, and they had a lead heading into the last 20 minutes. And it's kind of on them for blowing that. Other than that, I think what Graham Annesley's come out with those calls, I think they were all pretty much, you could see that they were incorrect calls. So it's nothing unexpected, his announcement.
Yeah, I think all three calls were incorrect. So it's good to see they admit it. Not having a horse in the race, I'm not as affected. If it was the Warriors and the Cowboys situation, I don't know what we'd be doing on this show right now if that had happened. But it's disappointing to see those things happen. But yeah, I think the Cowboys had more than enough opportunities to win that game. Obviously, we'll discuss it in a bit. But before we move on, Simon, yeah, I forgot to add this part. He said, from his understanding, Vodafone don't want to currently pay the license to have the name Vodafone from a separate company. I believe they reckon it's going to be a saving of between 20 and 30 million a year by changing the name. So from a business standpoint, it makes sense. I've seen a lot of people comment that the name One New Zealand sounds like a political party, which it's a bit weird, but I think you go back, you look at Shell when they changed the Z and things, there was a lot of people confused about the name. It'll just become a name we're used to eventually, I guess. But we'll move on. The next bit of news is a bit heartbreaking. I still had a little bit of hope, but Joseph Tapani has extended his stay with the Raiders until the end of 2027. I know Simon will be very happy about that. I secretly was hoping that we could somehow lure him to New Zealand to play for the Warriors and, offer him, an island or something. But we did speak about it last week, said that unless he came to the Warriors, we'd really want to see him stay with the Raiders. It's good to see he's extending his stay. What's your thought on the news? It's a big deal. It's a five-year contract. Those are sometimes risky, but I think he's got all the qualities to be worth it.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm happy that he stayed with the Raiders. The part of me that still believes in fairy tales that wanted him to come to NZ is obviously disappointed, but I think it's great that he stayed with the Raiders. I think he's really good for the Raiders club, and I don't think he's the type of player that won't provide value for that long contract. He's the kind of player that's going to put in and I think give you an 8 out of 10 performance at least every week. So, great for the Raiders.
Yeah, and I haven't seen any talk about the money, but it doesn't sound like he's taken them for everything they're worth. It sounds like it's he's still going to be fairly compensated, but it's not like he was trying to get $1 million a year or anything of that nature. He's not a David Fifita, so yeah, good news for the Raiders. Think it was the perfect little, I think, cherry on top after unfortunately getting knocked out of the finals to kind of say, hey guys, sorry, we didn't make it to the grand final like we wanted, but look at this news, we've got one of our best players staying around. So kind of just sweetens what was a disappointing week for the Raiders fans. Next bit of news, we'll keep going with the signing. So Corey Oates has signed a one-year extension at the Broncos, and Murray Talangi has re-signed with the Cowboys until the end of 2026. What's your thoughts on those? I think Corey Oates, I thought, has played pretty well for the Broncos this year, so I think it's good to see him extend his stay. And Murray Talangi has showed a lot of potential this year, and it's good to see that he's staying at the club that's given him the opportunity, as opposed to, you know, just jumping at the first sign of someone else wanting to take you after you've done some hard yards with a team.
Yeah, I agree completely. I thought Oates had probably his best year in at least a couple of years with the Broncos, so that form's probably sealed his extension. And Talangi, yeah, great prospect. Origin debut this year. Looks to have great chemistry with the Cowboys players, so makes a lot of sense.
Definitely. And hold on, yeah, Jacko's just put on there that he's highest paid prop of the comp now, just over 800K. Yeah. See, I think that's more than fine. And I think he's one of the best front rowers in the comp right now. So I think that's more than fair. Corey Thompson, though, from the Titans, has announced his retirement. Bit of a surprise. I thought he might have another year or two in him, but he played 122 NRL matches with the Bulldogs, Tigers, and Titans, as well as 58 matches in the Super League for the Vikings. What's your thoughts on Corey Thompson's career? Never anything, amazing, but he always gave it his all, which I think is an admirable quality.
Yeah, 100%. He knew his way to the try line. A very solid player, never going to get picked in any of the rep sides. And yeah, I'll probably remember him most recently for the look he gave Patrick Herbert after Patrick Herbert blew a try in the finals last year. Yeah, not a nice look. So, but no, being serious though, congrats on a good career to Corey.
Yeah, and I haven't seen if he's had any plans on staying involved with league in any capacity in his retirement. I didn't see anything in the release saying that he was going to stay with the Titans in any way, shape, or form. So I'm sure we'll hear what he wants to do with his future when he decides. I guess it's time to just sit back and, let things go for a little bit before you think about your next step. And this one's going to be a two-prong because I've got a bit of news later on, but Valentine Holmes has pledged his allegiance to Australia for the World Cup, but he has also said that if they don't select him, he's going to make himself available for the Cook Islands. So what's your thoughts on that? I may as well jump straight into the next part of it as well, because Mal Meninga's come out and called for an immediate review of Origin eligibility, stating that he doesn't want to jeopardise Australia's chances of allowing New South Wales and Queensland players to play for other nations. So it's kind of it flows into each other. First, your thoughts on Valentine saying, I want to be a kangaroo, but if they don't want me, I'm going to jump and go back to the Cook Islands. And then Mal saying that he was once okay with these guys representing other countries, but now that so many of them are deciding to rather play for another nation than Australia, he wants to change the rules again.
I think, given that it's World Cup year, if Valentine Holmes didn't get selected, then playing for the Cook Islands would be good for the World Cup and good for the Cook Islands. That said, I think there's no way he won't get picked. I'm pretty certain he'll be picked. And on Origin, well, I don't think we'll ever find the perfect formula in terms of selection and who should be available. But it's only now that some of these Pacific Island teams are coming into prominence and a lot of people are pledging allegiance for their heritage countries that it's becoming a big problem.
Yeah, I think they had no issues with it when it was affecting the Warriors, not the Warriors, the Kiwis.
Yeah.
When all the players that were jumping to the island nations were Kiwi players, they were fine. But now that it's affecting the Kangaroos is when they're making noise. You know, New Zealand didn't even really complain that much, where just before the World Cup, they lost, you know, some of their best players in one foul swoop to go to Tonga. Derailed the last World Cup for the Kiwis. Can't blame it all on the players jumping ship, but yeah, it just seems a bit funny that now it's an issue because Kangaroos. And I know I've seen a lot of people say, you know, it's, you know, disrespectful to the Kangaroos jumper, but they play once every couple of years now. So the incentive as an Australian is to play Origin, because you know that's going to happen every year. Where, you know, the last time, I don't even remember the actual year, the last time the Kangaroos played, they played Tonga, they lost at Mount Smart.
It's 2019.
So that was the last time they bothered to play. So, yeah. But, yeah, Jacko's made a point here as well, saying Mal wants to grow the international game, but one condition is Australia still win no matter what, if selection rules need to be changed. Yeah, they've painted themselves in a hole. You want to grow the game, but you're not going to grow the game unless you let those players play for the island nations. And I don't know how to fit. You've dug the hole already. I don't know how they're going to get out of it. They've said you can play for Origin and a second tier nation. So the only way they can stop that now is by saying, okay, you can't. But does that mean these guys that have played for a second tier nation can no longer play Origin? So all those guys can't play? Or will they say, no, you can come back, you just can't jump back again? I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, imagine if you took all of these Pacific Island players out of Origin. It might dilute Origin, and it's no longer a best versus the best. But also, I think Australia would like to use Origin as a and the money it brings with it and match payments as a carrot to get all these great players to play for the Kangaroos for sure.
Yeah, well, that's always been the model. You know, you use Origin. That's how they used to lure the New Zealand boys. Because you got paid more to play Origin than you did to play for the Kiwis. So, you know, it just made more sense. And I think Simon said the Prime Minister's 13 in Australia have played more internationals than the Kangaroos, which goes into our next bit, because we're not going to come to a conclusion here, unfortunately, with eligibility, because it's been murky for as long as I can remember. But we did have the Australian Prime Minister's 13 first Papua New Guinea matches over the weekend. Australia won both contests, 64-6 in the women's match and 64-14 in the men's. What's your take on that? It was pretty star-studded Australian teams against basically second-tier Papua New Guinea. No disrespect to them, but a lot of their big names that you would expect in the World Cup weren't playing. A bit one-sided, but we did get to see, you know, some of these guys that do want to make the Kangaroos for the World Cup have a bit of a run, which I guess was the ideal purpose for this. But did you catch the games or have any input on it?
Yeah, and the results were pretty much expected. Like you say, Papua New Guinea has plenty of talent as a nation, but if you start taking away the top tier of those players, they just simply don't have the depth to match Australia's depth. So the next tier down in Australia are always going to put those kind of scores on Papua New Guinea, unfortunately. But yeah, some nice performances from from some of the hopefuls in the Aussie team who still hoping to put their hand up for World Cup selection?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, Australia's always going to be competitive, and hopefully we can see some more Papua New Guinea players get a bit more experience so we don't get so much one-sided affairs in this type of outfit. But yeah, I still think they're going to be dangerous at the World Cup, Papua New Guinea. So we can't write them off just yet. I think they could do some damage. We'll go on to one of my favorite players, Mitch Moses. He had an emotional week. We'll talk about it a bit more in the actual game, but he lost his grandmother. Then he FaceTimed during the birth of his first child just before making the grand final. It's kind of a fairy tale type of story, excluding the death of his grandmother, of course. But bit of a whirlwind week, and could probably explain some of the criticisms I have about him in the game, at the start at least. But what do you think about Mitch Moses' emotional week?
Yeah, that's a roller coaster for anybody to go through, particularly somebody that's about to play in an elimination semi-final. That's probably enough of a roller coaster as it is. So
yeah,
to cope with what he had to cope with and come out and still play a good match, kudos to Mitch, because yeah, that would have taken some toughness to just get through that match. You know, I could only imagine what was running through his head the whole week. So yeah, thoughts go out to him.
Definitely. And then our favorite segment, Cam Munster Watch. His management have stated that the Storm can expect an answer on if he'll re-sign with them either this week or next. So it's Wednesday. There's been no news as of yet. So I assume we'll should hopefully have an answer by next Wednesday before we do our show. So hopefully we can end the Cam Munster discussions for the year next year.
Can't wait.
And we get into a bit more. Jason Tomalolo has come out and said he thinks it's unfair that his upcoming suspension will see him miss matches for Tonga, and thinks they should only count towards Cowboys matches. What do you think, Richie? Do you think a penalty should not affect your international status? No one else has complained about taking in the World Cup, the ones Jared Warrior, Hargraves and Lindsay Collins and the like. But yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, part of me thinks you do the crime, do the time. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, it's a World Cup, which is one every few years. So I could kind of see where he's coming from too. I mean, yeah, maybe he just wants that Taylor May treatment.
Yeah, he's playing for the wrong club for that. It's three matches, so he will miss the pool.
Yeah,
matches, which is unfortunate. They have said that it will count if they have any warm ups. So if they have, I don't know if Tonga's got a warm up or two before the World Cup, so they could potentially do it that way. It depends what day it is. With the NRL on how they approach it. Like he could have been told, you know, the first three rounds of next year is when you'll sit it. I just don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I was hoping you would have a good answer.
Well, I mean, didn't the Panthers get their players suspension moved for the fans? You'd think Tonga has the best fans, wouldn't they?
Yeah, but the NRL also don't really care about the World Cup, so but they won't want to come out and say that outright, and say, you know, we care about the NRL fans, not the World Cup fans. But it's not too many. I think he'll still be there. It's not like Tonga are going to lose. I don't think they'll lose and not make the quarters. So he'll still be quite an integral part of their campaign.
Yeah.
We'll just have to wait and see. But last bit before we move on to injuries, the NRL is continuing to tinker with the 2023 season draw. And it looks like there's going to be less games occurring on a Friday night, as many teams don't like the 6 p.m. kickoff due to lower crowds, other than the Warriors, of course, who would get a Friday night game at 8 o'clock at home, which generally can fill in a decent crowd. This will see Sunday go to 3 games. And it also sounds like all teams will get 3 byes next season. We're going to discuss the draw once we actually get it. But what do you think, Richie? Would you like to see the early Friday game gone and replace all the Sunday fixture? Or do you like that 6 p.m./8 p.m. for New Zealanders kickoff on a Friday night?
I do quite like having a couple of games on a Friday. That's just me. Obviously, you go to Aussie and they'll have their reasons why they may not like it. Like you say, having to rush home from work for a 6 p.m. kickoff if that's your team playing in that slot. But, yeah, I do. I like having a couple games on a Friday, and they're nice and evenly spread across the you got the Thursday game and then a couple on Friday, a couple on Saturday, a couple on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm heavily biased because I have the New Zealand time slot. So, yeah, 8 p.m. on a Friday night is perfect for me. I know like the Australians don't like it, but then I feel a bit of connupance for them making us wait till like 10 o'clock to watch finals games, and 10, 11 o'clock to watch an Origin game during the week. So, yeah, I think it swings around about. So it's the, we just don't know. It sounds like that's the way it's going to go. So, we'll do a special show, I'm sure, once the draw is actually announced. So we'll move on to injuries. There was really only 2, and they're both not good. So Taylor May and Tom Opacek were both still fighting to get better from their hamstring injuries. They were trying to prove their fitness so they could play in the grand final. Both have been ruled out. So big losses for them, for both sides. I think Opacek's been playing quite well for the Eels, and Taylor May, besides the fact that he shouldn't be playing due to suspension anyway, he's been playing really well. So big losses for both sides there, Richie.
Yeah, I did actually read on Facebook, so it may not be the most trustworthy source, but I heard that NRL was considering postponing the grand final to let Taylor May recover.
To make sure he's ready and fit,
yeah. But, yeah, it is a loss for both teams, both centres, so maybe it cancels each other out.
Yeah, well, Taylor May's a winger, mate, you know. But
oh, yeah, you know, outside backs.
Yeah. Unless they're props, they don't matter, right?
Props are the elite.
Exactly. So now we'll go to Naughty Boy Corner. Despite only 2 games, we still had quite a few. So we already talked about it, but Jason Tomalolo got a 3-week suspension for a grade 2 dangerous contact. The big one, though, was Tane Milne. He got 6 matches for his grade 2 highless high tackle. So that's basically ruled him out of the World Cup. So I'm sure he's sitting there hoping that the NRL listen to Jason and say we can move it to the NRL only so he can play for Fiji.
Did you think that was worth the 6-7 matches?
Not 6. 4.
4?
I'll give you 4. But he's got a track record. Like I got it in my notes for the Rabbitohs game. In the finals, Tane Milne had 2 sin bins and a red card. In the final series alone. So he definitely had, history against him in that one, unfortunately. But we also had Viliami Kikau got a $3,000 fine for a grade 1 shoulder charge and a $1,500 fine to Charlie Staines for a grade 1 shoulder charge as well. What's your take? I heard a lot of people thinking Kikau should have missed a week, but, you know, it's the Panthers we're talking about here. So... I wasn't surprised, but do you think a fine was enough, or he should have seen some time on the pine?
He was going hunting, that's for sure. He was looking to put some pain on. I think a fine is okay. I think Charlie Staines, if you get getting a shoulder charge from a bloke like Charlie Staines, I don't even think it should count. And he doesn't even have shoulders. Tane Milne, yeah, this one was funny. He definitely cocked the arm and gave it a good swing, so he probably gets what's coming to him. I thought, yeah, like you, I thought maybe a month would be about right, but you're right, he does have priors, so.
It was a decent whack.
It was. He didn't miss.
I'll give him that, but yeah, it's not what you want to see, despite my reputation on the show. But sometimes it's the only way you can stop a front rower running through you. So, you know, see. But yeah, poor look for Tane Milne. And yeah, shame that he gets to miss out on the World Cup, because I don't imagine he'll be playing by the time the next one comes around. But yeah, before we go on to talking about those games, we'll go into the NRLW. The Eels continued their surprising run. We talked about it last week, how they squeaked into the playoffs by points differential. They managed to defeat the top of the table Roosters to enter the grand final in a shock to me, at least. I'm not sure if you were shocked. We kind of predicted it was going to be a Roosters Knights final.
Yep.
But no, it is going to be a Knights Eels final. Yeah, what did you think of those games?
It was definitely surprised.
It was surprising. I thought they were both really good games, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But I was definitely surprised with the Eels knocking off the Roosters. I think the Eels squeaked in fourth place off the back of just one win, wasn't it? It one or two? Yeah, it was just one win, wasn't it?
It was just the one win.
So to knock off the champion Roosters was a massive surprise, and unfortunately my favourite, Isabel Kelly, she's gone. But yeah. I mean, massive for the Eels. That's two teams from the club in the grand final now, grand final week. So that's great for the Eels. And Brad, your Knights kept marching on. Your girl, Millie Boyle.
Yep, Millie Boyle. Yeah, so both games, I didn't say the scores. The Eels defeated the Roosters 24-10. And then, yeah, the Knights dominated the Dragons 30-6. So, yeah, Knights have gone well. I think if we had, before the NRLW season started, if you told me it would be the Knights and Eels that were in the final, I would have told you were joking. I would have had the Roosters in there and either the Broncos or the Dragons, to be honest. Because the Broncos are the team. But yeah, they fell away in a huge, huge manner this year. But yeah, the Knights, they showed what a couple of key recruits can really do. With Millie doing really well there, Tamika Upton going along with her. And I think they have to be favourites to win the grand final. But the Eels have just shown that it doesn't matter the odds. They can go in there and really throw a cat amongst the pigeons, if you will. So should be a great game. Who do you have winning it, though?
I think the Knights. I think they've been the more informed team throughout the whole season. And have the better record. I think they'll be too hard to stop. I think the Eels have done well the past couple of weeks, but the Knights should have a little bit too much.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm on the Knights train. They're my NRLW team, so at least I'll have one team that's doing well. So, yeah, looking forward to discussing that one a bit more next week after the games happen. So we might as well jump straight into reviewing the two games we get to talk about this week, which means I get to pass the floor to you, starting with the Cowboys-Eels game.
Yep, Cowboys-Eels. The Eels qualifying for the grand final by getting up 24-20 over the Cowboys in Townsville, which was massive, massive deal. Yep.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com.
BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Four tries to three for the Eels. Will Pennicini, Regan Campbell-Gillard with a double. Brad's going to love the front row getting a double there. And Mike Acevo. For the Cowboys was three tries. Ruben Cotter, Luciano Leilua, and Murray Taulagi. Yeah, highly competitive game, Brad. 12-all halftime. Like we already touched on earlier, the Cowboys had a nice, I think it was 8-point lead with about 20 to go, but the Eels, as they've done from time to time this season, show what they're made of and weren't to be denied. So Parramatta fans, Eels will be very excited. This might be the year.
Might be. We've said it a lot this year that this was the Eels' last chance of winning a premiership before some of their key players go. And the fact that they actually got to the grand final, I honestly didn't think they would. I've been very critical of them all year. They would come out, like I've said a lot, they would come out and make it look easy beating the Panthers and the Storm. And then they'll go out and lose to the Tigers. You just could never really pick. But I thought it was a great contest to start the weekend. The Eels did have a few lucky calls go their way, you know, that forward pass. They also, you know, Jason Tomalolo got sin-binned, which allowed Regan to get his first try. But yeah, the Eels forwards were impressive once again. I think I raved about it a bit last week. But yeah, Regan Gamble-Gillard, he got his double. But alongside him, you had Sean Lane, had another massive night. I think he's definitely putting his hand up to at least be in the conversation for the Kangaroos for the World Cup. Especially with every second Australian defecting at the moment, he's definitely got to be in the conversation. But yeah, their forwards, just like I said last week, they did a lot of heavy lifting in the start, which helped the backs out immensely. Mitch Moses, he did have a few wayward kicks in the first half. Hearing the stories about him, you know, everything he'd been going through this week, I can kind of understand it a bit more now. But behind that pack, he got himself into the groove eventually and started showing that he steered the team around really well. And I think I have to stop calling him a flat track bully, Richie. I think he's really showing the, you know, the actual potential he has. But yeah, they showed great things on attack. And but I think the key thing here is their defense. Their defense got them to this grand final. Towards the end of the match, the Cowboys were surging and it looked like it was only a matter of time before they would just get to try and win the game. But the Eels just refused to let them through that line and didn't give up, which, you know, full credit has to go to them. A great result. It does make a great story that the only team to beat the Panthers twice this year now gets to potentially spoil the Panthers' chances of going back-to-back. But, yeah, the Cowboys, to be honest, I know it's very disappointing how they went out, but I can't really fault them too much on their effort. If you looked at all the stats, they were basically the better side every stat. They ran hard, they defended reasonably well, and they took a lot of their opportunities. They just couldn't get through the Eels' defense in the final 20, and that was the difference. Disappointing for the Cowboys and their fans alike, but what a season for one of the wooden spoon favorites. And yeah, I expect to see them in the title hunt again next year.
Yeah, I definitely do. I think as much as that'll hurt them, they have the foundations for a good couple of years, I believe. Some real young guns in their forward pack, some really good backs, obviously rep players, Valentine Holmes, Tommy Dearden's gone to another level. So, although this is another game to add to the Cowboys' conspiracy theorist fans, them being knocked out in funny ways in finals, but Yeah.
Yeah. And like Jacko said as well, Cowboys at home with a week's rest looked good as the Eels were awful for the first 40, but faded. So yeah, it was that. It was really close. Both games were close. It was both 12 all at halftime. And yeah, the teams that made the grand final were just better in the second half in both games. It's very simple, but that's how it was. And Jacko also said that the Cows and the Sharks both overachieved on back of favourable draws, which I think was a thing. The draws were very, very favourable, is the best way to describe it, as Jacko did, for both of those sides. And, yeah, they didn't go all the distance. And Mike Harrison said Parra versus Penrith, battle of the Bogans.
Absolutely.
So, exactly. But, yeah, though it was a great game.
Yep, and the Saturday game was the Panthers getting up over the Rabbitohs 32-12. It was 5-2. 5 tries for the Panthers. Api Kotosau, Brian Tor, Spencer Lenu, Isaac Tango, and Nathan Cleary. 2 for the Rabbitohs, Cody Walker and Richie Kenna, who was standing in for Alex Johnston. Yeah, again, I thought the Rabbitohs started really well, Brad. They were up 2 tries and looking really good, looking like they were going to take a 12-0 lead to the break. I think the fact that they let Api Kotosau and Brian Toto score Panthers scored 2 tries in the last 10 minutes before halftime, last 5 minutes before halftime, I think that really changed the momentum heading into halftime, and the Panthers came out and just came home with a wet sail.
Yeah, well, we were talking, you, I, Andrew and Hammer were all chatting during this game on Facebook. And I must say, you know, after those first 2 tries for the Rabbitohs, I had my chest out. I was very proud that I was going to go 2 from 2 in my picks, picking the Eels and the Rabbits. And I was like, yep, the Rabbits got this. And yeah, they just fell apart after... I think I've got it here. Rabbitohs started well and looked set for an upset, but the Panthers didn't lose their cool and cruised home. Nathan Cleary was kicking well. He was forcing Latrell Mitchell to do a lot of work running the ball back, which we all know Latrell isn't a fan of doing. And it had that flow-on effect where it kind of dulled Latrell's impact into the Rabbitohs sets later on. The Panthers... The change, really, they looked horrible until Api Kotosau came on. So Ivan, for some reason, decided that Api would be better off the bench. It did work in this fact. I think there was a stat saying that when Api came on to when he went off, the Panthers were leading 26-0 in that segment when he was on. But once he came on, everything clicked. He bamboozled them to get his first try, and then... You know, they got Brian Toho's solo try. The only thing I was offended by was Michael Innes calling Brian Toho Jonah Lomu-like.
Yeah.
That was the only – it was a great try. But, yeah, he – Jonah Lomu's thigh, maybe. You know, he's solid try for them. And, yeah, after that try at halftime the game was over in my eyes. I thought the Rabbitohs have lost this now. They had all the chance in the world in the start and lost it all by letting the Panthers sneak in. They also had 2 tries disallowed, the old Panthers, so they could have been going in even higher. Spencer Lenu, we talked about him earlier. He had a huge night scoring try and causing havoc in the middle. Had a bit of a haircut from Tane Milne. But, yeah, it was just a great overall performance from Penrith, which is what we expect, to be honest. And they're in the driver's seat to get the job done in the grand final. You know, it's theirs to win or lose, to be brutally honest. Rabbitohs were my pick. I had jumped on their bandwagon as it was falling off the side of the cliff. I quickly jumped off and jumped onto the Eels one. So I'm still okay. But, yeah. They just didn't deliver. I think Jacko's put it here, that they had no backbone when he applied. I think the biggest thing was the Panthers, they do it to me, and I know they do it to other teams, but they really know how to get under your skin, and they just got under Cody Walker's skin, and you could see he was getting angry and frustrated. And when Cody is playing and seeing the red mist, the Rabbitohs are done for. And that's basically what we saw here. He was, you know, getting in people's faces and losing his cool. And the Rabbitohs just looked a mess. Tony Milne, we talked about it. He was sent off for that silly shot. Needs to learn self-control. And a horrible way for South to exit the finals. But at least for them, it's clear on what they need to work on in the off-season so they can come back into 2023 stronger. They need better hands and cooler heads. That basically is the two things they need. But yeah, I've rambled. What was your take on all of it?
When Brad says you've got to learn a bit of self-control, that's when you know your disciplinary compass is way off. Spencer Lenu, you didn't look too happy with that haircut from Tane Mill, did he? You back him in a fight against Tane Mill?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. He wouldn't be one of the ones I would call out, like our question last week.
He's a scary looking man.
Yeah,
we said it all, really. The Rabbitohs, good start. Panthers, you need more than a good start, though. You need to play 80. And like Jacko's pointed out, the moment the Panthers scored a couple, it looked like the writing was on the wall from there on out. So,
yeah,
good effort from the Rabbitohs, I think, to get to where they got, given they lose Adam Reynolds, they lose Wayne Bennett, they lose
Gagai.
So I think they've done pretty well to get to where they've got with a rookie half, and I think they've still got a bit left in them. So but the Panthers roll on. Battle of the West is set up.
Definitely. So that was the preliminary finals. We may as well talk about the tips. I'll see if I've got this set up. Paul was meant to join us, but he hasn't yet. So I will see if this works. Aha. So Richie, as we already mentioned, he once again got 2 out of 2. So he is leading the competition and he's taken it out. There's no way any of us can win. Got a total of 6 of 8. So congrats on being the finals tipping champ. I got a 50-50, which seems to be my thing in the finals. So I got 1 out of 2, getting 2nd out of 3 out of 8. And Simon, unfortunately, got 0 out of 2. And is at the bottom 2 out of 8. But depending on who we picks this week, we could end up tied at the bottom. So it will be interesting to see what happens there. But well done again, Richie.
Thank you.
And we didn't really have any questions from anyone because we've been just chatting all the way through. Because that's what happens when Paul isn't here, you see. We just go on and on. So I'll go with my question for you first. Because I think that one's more of a doozy. The Eels have a chance of ending their 32-year premiership drought this week. There are 3 teams, however, that are yet to win a premiership, which are the Warriors, the Titans, and the Dolphins. But I'm fair on the Dolphins because they haven't started yet, but I'm throwing them in the mix. Who do you think will win their first title first out of those 3? Warriors, Titans, Dolphins.
What if I don't think any of those teams will ever win a premiership? Warriors, let me show my bias. I think we've made a grand final twice. Third time's a charm. We just got to get there. Are you writing this down?
No. I'm writing Simon's pick down. So he said his pick for the grand finals, Penrith. He can't support a bludger team like Parramatta.
I just wanted it on record for when the Warriors win the premiership next year.
Yeah, you know these all get uploaded to YouTube, Richie. So it is here for forever.
What episode is this, 31?
This is 31, yes.
Okay, I'll go back to this one for reference.
All right, I'm just going to – I would love it to be the Warriors. I'm going to say the Dolphins. I'm going to throw a spanner in the works. The Dolphins will win it first. They're about to have Cameron Munster in their team, you know.
The Storm couldn't win the premiership with Munster in their team this year.
That's true, but it's going to be Cameron Munster and Cody Nikorima, the dream team.
This is going to be a Storm, Storm like exile team anyway, isn't it?
It is.
If Munster goes there, they'll have the Bromwich brothers and what's his name? Second rower.
Yeah, I forgot his name, but he's
the Queensland.
There.
The Queensland Kafusi. Kafusi, yeah.
Kafusi. Yeah. I would like, it's hard to pick. I don't know, but I feel like the Dolphins, you know, they got a good coach. They're going to, depending on who they get, they could be a shot. It's stranger things that happen. We've seen other teams like the Storm kind of come in and hit the ground running. So you never know. And I just didn't want to look like a tragic Warriors fan like you, Richie, and just pick the easy option.
Okay.
So your question for me.
I was just being honest.
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair.
Yeah. My question for you, grand final week themed, who do you see having the most impact on this weekend's grand final and taking out the Clive Churchill medal for 2022?
Mitch Moses.
I like it. I was going to say there's an easy answer to that, and that's probably Cleary, but
yeah.
Mitch Moses, I like it.
Mitch Moses. You know me, I'm as fickle as they come. You know, I've been ragging on Mitch Moses all year, and now I'm his biggest fan.
He's redeemed himself.
No, I wanted to try to pick someone that wasn't as easy. You know, just say, like you said, like Nathan Cleary, you know, you could kind of basically, odds are you give him the medal now. But, yeah, I wanted to be a bit more creative. I think Mitchell Moses, I think if the Eels can get the win here, Mitchell Moses and Dylan Brown will be a big factor in it. So you could pretty much say either of them, but I'd say Mitch Moses does a lot more of the directing. So in that circumstance, that's why the medal would go his way. So I would go with him. And yeah, Simon also said he thinks the Titans, if the Warriors had a functional ownership, he could see them winning. He's put wedding, but he said winning after the Titans. Yeah, I think a lot of people thought the Titans. But yeah, I don't know. And that was it, really. We got one. Oh, Mike, if you could pick one Panther and one Eel for the Warriors in 2023, who would you go for? Okay. So do you want to take this one first or do you want me?
Cleary and Dill Brown. Just go for a new house pairing.
New house pairing. I would go with James Fisher Harris.
Of course you pick a prop.
Yeah. And Eels. I was trying to think of another. We don't need another prop from the Eels. I would go with Dylan Brown.
We already had a couple of those Eels. Imagine we kept Papali'i and we let Sean Lane develop here instead of only giving him a couple games.
Well, Sean Lane didn't want to be here.
I know, but we could have. No, yeah, he didn't want to be here.
He had no interest in being a Warrior. He even said that. I think it was a podcast I listened to him with Dean and Kemp that he was basically given to us because the Bulldogs wanted Raymond Mariner. And they're like, just take him. And his manager said, basically, if you don't take this offer, you're not going to have a job because the Bulldogs will just release you anyway. Mm. And so just take it and then, you know, do that year and I'll get you somewhere else. So he was basically, I've got to just go here. And they basically had Manly lined up pretty quick after he got here. So he was never interested in being here, so that one I'm not going to let you have.
Well, Denon Kemp's the same. He didn't like the cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, Mike agrees with me about James Fisher Harris. But he's also asked, what are our three best rugby league podcasts?
Guru Podcast, Rugby League Guru, and Bloke in a Bar I quite like. And the Standoff. But if I can't put, no, I'm joking. I'm going to put my Warriors hat on and say Ruin Hammer. I like all the past legend interviews we get out of the boys from Ruin Hammer.
Yeah. So my, Bloke in a Bar, Rugby League Guru. Yeah, Ruin Hammer or Warriors Anonymous for me. I put them kind of together. I also like, there's so many, because I like This Warrior's Life as well.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting This Warrior's Life on the list because they're the only Warriors podcast that haven't invited me on. So I will be fickle and say no until they do that. Mm-mm. Fonzie was good too, but he's merged with This Warrior's Life. So yeah, calling them out here because I know they listen. So yeah, put me on the show at some point, please. No, I like it. And yeah, and Michael said Matt Bundy. There's so many good ones out there. I try to listen to them all. A lot of them I wait till after our show.
Andy Raymond. I love Andy Raymond. That's a good shout, Mike. I do a lot of long driving in my job, so I'm a podcast. I won't say the word, but yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts, rugby league ones in particular. I love Andy Raymond, actually.
Yeah, so I listen a lot of them too. But yeah, I try to listen to them either well before our show or after, so I don't just steal what they're saying and talk about it here. But yeah, they're always good to listen to, and especially the Warriors ones. I like to get another opinion on what the games happen. Some people are a bit more technical than I am. Some are less, and you just get different thoughts, which helps with me when I'm writing as well, just to see it from another perspective. So it's always good. But yeah, cheers for the questions. Jacko also said Dylan Brown goes missing too much. I think
this year he's been pretty good.
I think he's improved this year. He definitely always had that issue. But we kind of did see it when Mitch Moses went off, you know, a few weeks ago. He kind of went back into his shell. So that's still always there. I think if he's got a strong leading half with him, he definitely plays better. So that could be an issue if he came to the Warriors. Because strong leading halves isn't really something we have. So
wouldn't be an issue if he came with Cleary, like I said.
That's true. There you go. And yeah, Simon also said he likes the Glorious League Freak and Andrew from the Rugby League Project, as they have interesting takes. So yeah, there's always so much out there. It's the perks of this glorious sport, is there's so many people that love talking about it. Mm. But cheers for the questions, everyone. We may as well jump into the little game that's happening this week. We'll bring up the little picture. They've got some beautiful men that they picked this week.
King Gutho
and Isaiah Yeo. But yeah, Sunday. See 7:30 there, but that's Australian time because they don't like putting our New Zealand time on there. And yeah, Jacko's just mentioned in the chat, I haven't brought it up, but Warriors offered Brown huge money a couple of years ago and he declined.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's they'll probably always be talking about trying to bring him back here. I don't see it happening. I think he'll be an eel for a very long time. I don't think they'll let him go. But yeah, grand final. So who do you have? I've gone with the Eels, and as Simon had already said, he's gone with the Panthers.
I've gone with the Panthers.
Cowards, and
it's like I was saying to you before going on, I don't know how I feel about it because I really want the Eels to win. But at the same time, I like these teams that have a longer premiership drought than us Warriors. So
yeah. So
I'd love to see the Panthers knocked off.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Panthers. I see Paul's finally decided to show. About time, Paul, almost at the end of it. But, you know.
Better
late than never. But, yeah, I've gone, as we've seen with how bad my picking's been going in the off-season compared to the regular season. Regular season, I picked with my head, and off-finals, I've been picking with my heart. So, I think... And Jacko's basically said, and I said it earlier, the grand final was the Panthers to lose. They'll have to have a bad game, the Eels, a belter for the Eels to win, which is effectively what I said in the Rabbitohs as well. The Rabbitohs had to play the game of their life and hope the Panthers had an off night. And it's the same here. The Eels have shown they can beat the Panthers, but this is a big stage. a big stage that the Panthers are quite comfortable in, having been in the last two grand finals. So it's 100% theirs to lose. And another question before we move on. So I will, how do I take the picture off again? There we go. I got it. I'm learning. Jacko said, one question is, Kerwin Wright saying RTS is looking at jumping back into league. So there's been a lot of talk about it. I was going to put it in the news, but I just decided I didn't want to. It's still hurtful. But yeah, there's lots of talk, Richie, about Roger Tuivasa-Sheck potentially leaving, and that there's a contract on the table for potentially the Roosters for him to leave. So what's your take on it? I personally think he's going to stay out. I've always said that he'll be back in the NRL after the World Cup. But what's your take?
Yeah, that's my thinking too. I don't think we'll see him coming back anytime before next year. I think he's going to stick around and try and put his best foot forward to make his way to France next year for the Rugby World Cup. And then it depends, I guess, what his aspirations are after that. Wouldn't mind seeing him come back to the Warriors, wouldn't lie. How old is he now?
He is 29.
29, so after next year's World Cup, he's probably, what's he, 30? Yeah. I don't know, mate. Maybe it's a bit too, starting to get a bit late after that.
Yeah, and I was trying to find it because I don't understand why he'd go to the Roosters, because they have James Tedesco. So are you saying that Roger's going to go back there and play on the wing? I don't see it. And I thought there was a clause that he had to come back to the Warriors, but I've seen some reports out there that Cameron George said that they didn't put a clause like that in there when they released him, which again is another tick in the fantastic management the Warriors have been, that they wouldn't put a clause like that in there. But I can't find the actual article because it happened so long ago.
Yeah.
And yeah, Jacko said RTS could make a lot more money playing in Union in Japan or Europe. Yeah. But the thing, I know that he was talking a lot about the whole reason he was coming was to come back to New Zealand because he was kind of over living in Australia away from his family. But I guess in these other situations, even going back to the NRL, you could take the family back with you now. So, yeah, I really don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him back in the NRL after the World Cup. But all the talks about him leaving early, I don't see happening. Yeah, I don't know. But that's more a Richie and Paul question because they watch Union more than I do. I did watch the 26 seconds he got to play for the All Blacks in the weekend. You know, so it was good. I think he saw the ball a couple of times. He didn't get to touch it, but, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, we'll may as well go into the Super League before we sign off. St. Helens sent Christian Wolfe out on a high note. Obviously, he's coming to the Dolphins in a coaching capacity, but they won their record fourth consecutive grand final. They defeated Leeds 24-12. I got to see bits of the game. I didn't get to see all of it. I did promise that I'd watch all of it, but daylight savings threw me in a loop. But yeah, it looked very good. Good to see Conrad Harrell, one of my fan favorites from his days in the Warriors, had a nice big game for them there. And yeah, we kind of predicted St. Helens would win this one. I would have liked Wigan to be there instead of Leeds. But yeah, another strong performance from St. Helens. It'll be interesting to see how they go next year without Christian Wolf there. I don't know the comings and goings. I think they're keeping a lot of the same roster anyway. So odds are they should still be in the running. But did you see any of the game, Richie?
Yeah, I did. Like you say, it was without Wigan there. I kind of didn't really have a lot of emotional connection to it, but we expected St. Helens to do this, and although it's becoming a bit tiresome, you have to respect it. It's a pretty massive effort to go for on the trot. So props to them. Great way to see Christian Wolf off. And, yeah, Connie Harrell, one of my one of my old school favourites as well, Brad. So nice to see him pick one up.
Definitely. Before we go, I know Paul doesn't like hearing this, but we'll be joining Ruin Hammer tomorrow night to review the preliminary finals, preview the grand final, and also they've asked us to compile some lists of teams. So we'll be discussing discussing our Warriors greatest 17, our Warriors favorite players 17, our Warriors all Aussie 17, 2022 NRL team of the year, and I believe the rookies of the year as well. So come join us over on their page tomorrow. I can't recall the time. I think it's 9 o'clock New Zealand time, Richie.
Have we confirmed it? I'm not sure. Yeah, I would say so. Last time we joined them, it was.
Yeah. So I assume it's that time. I know they've put it on Facebook and stuff already. So, yeah, if you're interested in hearing us talk about that.
Amateur hour. If organising it, there's amateur hour stuff. No.
They've got it sorted, I think. It's just us not paying attention.
We're the amateurs.
Yeah, so it shows us up there. Simon's put in there. Lee York in the semifinals. They won 70 points to 10. Lee, main rival, got knocked out of the semifinals, 9 out of 10, likely to guarantee to win the final. Jago said, so you're on, but you don't know when. I'm always ready to go, Jacko. I'm just used to – I assume it's 9. It's, as I said, daylight savings is throwing me in the loop. I don't know. He's used
to ball holding his hand and looking after him.
Yeah, exactly. It's saying 7 p.m. AEST, 9 p.m. New Zealand. So I was right. I was just not 100% confident. So, yeah, 9 p.m. New Zealand time tomorrow. But anything else you want to add, Richie or Paul?
Yeah. Some breaking news. Looks like Ben Hunt's rejected St. George Illawarra deal. Some of you might be interested in that. Brad in particular.
Yeah. I did see that, actually. That popped up in my little feed. He's rejected their offer. Do you think he's going to end up going elsewhere?
Hey, maybe he did meet with Phil Gould, and maybe that's what it was about.
Potentially. So we will watch that next week. And Jacko also said we're getting as bad as the 360 show.
Oh, we're way worse than that.
Yeah. They at least get paid, you know. but yeah, and Simon said IRD recommended rejecting the deal. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That gives us another thing to talk about next week, Richie, with only one game to review. So we will get more knowledge on the Ben Hunt situation and talk about it next week. But until then, thank you all for joining us on the Standoff with Brad and Richie. For your weekly update on rugby league, tune into our show next week at 8 p.m. here on Facebook or at your convenience on iHeartRadio. Just remember to search New Zealand Sport Radio. Thank you for joining me again, Richie. Cheers for finally turning up, Paul. And good night, everyone.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.